Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hardheads here. It is your host, Derek Felix, and another edition here of the Hardheads podcast here on the Hardheads Network over on Block Talk Radio. Hope everybody is doing well out there. At 10:07 in the evening here, we are going up till 11. This is just going to be a abbreviated edition. There actually might be another show. Dan Wheeler, who still was basking in the glow of his winnings off of DraftKings from the great NASCAR pick that he made. He went to Disney, went to check out an Epcot center, was taking pictures and had a dinner. And, well, he's interested in doing another show later this evening. So, with that said, we've got time to actually discuss certain things and see what we can do. So it is a hard hits here. Just abbreviated right now, kind of a solo kind of show right now. But the show later might be one of those shows where you might have more participants, but I'm not counting on anything. I don't know. But anyway, it is a Monday. It's July the 13th. There is a little over a week before baseball is expected to begin. And so we find ourselves waiting to see what that's going to look like. What will it look like? These are very good questions, and we don't really know. But what we do know is that there's a lot of different topics going on, a lot of different things going on in terms of how things are when it comes to just this whole obsession with the names, with team names. Now, last night we talked a little bit with Dan and Justin about the Washington team, the Washington Redskins, who have been around a long time, and they're not going to be the Washington Redskins anymore. And they're going to get rid of the logo. And personally, I think it's silly. I think it's kind of ridiculous. But they've decided they want to retire the name because they want to give in to all this cancel culture, and it's all influenced by the same party, by the Democrats. And by people that are just so easily offended by anything, they don't really get the point of sports. They don't get the point of sports. It's a team name. It's not meant to be offensive. And interestingly enough, the former name of the Washington Redskins originally is the Boston Redskins. So how long have the Redskins been in existence for? Why don't we go back and take a look at how far back this franchise goes, a once proud franchise that's been run into the gutter by Daniel Snyder, a just awful owner. And I think it's time to look at the history of a team. Of a team that won 3 Super Bowls, a team that had a lot of success under Joe Gibbs, and a team that had a rallying call called Hail to the Redskins. And that was their fight song. Their fight song, basically, the marching band, Hail to the Redskins. And this is a team with a proud history, with 5 NFL championships, originating, they started in Boston. That's right. Way back in 1932, they were the Boston Braves, ironically enough, in Boston, Mass. And then changed its name 5 years later to the Redskins. Actually a year later. So they went from the Boston Braves, who also were a baseball team at one point, for relocating a couple times, to the Redskins a year later. And in 1937, 5 years later, they did relocated to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. So the Redskins had two NFL championships that they won in 37, 42. And then they had a lot of success. The one guy, Super Bowl 17, Super Bowl 22. And finally, 1992, the year of Mark Rippon, Super Bowl 26, when they destroyed the Bills. 22, that was the Doug Williams game where he threw for 4 touchdowns in 1 quarter against the Broncos. They destroyed them. Yeah, the Redskins were a very successful franchise for a long time. So, I also remember the Redskins getting beat up pretty good by the LA Raiders. I remember that as well. So, and the Redskins have been around for a long time. They've had the burgundy and gold colors, and with them not, you know, going to be the Redskins anymore, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, they were Redskins from 1937 to 2019. You know, what will they be called? What are they going to be called? That's the question. I've thrown some suggestions out there. I think it should be something to do with the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. So the Washington Veterans seems like it would be a good name to me. Yeah, I've talked about that. I think the Washington Veterans would be a real good name for them. Also talked a little bit about the Washington Heroes. There are a lot of heroes, and there are a lot of heroic figures in Washington, D.C. And I think that if you're going to have a name, it should honor the tradition. Honor. That's what I think. And I don't want it to be the Washington Warriors. I don't think that's a good name. Nor do I really care about the NFL. But I think that they should honor their tradition. That's what I think. I think they should be loyal to it. And that's how I feel about it. So it is. Whether it's the Washington Veterans or the Washington Heroes, or even the Washington Americans. I know it's a very tough concept for people out there, but that's how I feel about it. Now, in other news, when it comes to these, just the silly team names that, as they continue to try to just destroy this country and just try to just cancel everything. Here's another one. The Atlanta Braves are going to stay the Atlanta Braves, and I'm very happy about that. They've been around for a long time. They've been around even longer. The Atlanta Braves have been around for a long time, but they might be getting rid of the tomahawk chop. And to be honest with you, that's what that really started. It started really back in the early 90s. I don't really care too much about that. They want to get rid of it, so be it. Here's the thing, though. That's the thing that Justin and Dan both said. You can't stop fans from going to a game, maybe it's not this year, but maybe it's next year, wearing the Washington Redskins jersey, or from doing a chant, and so forth. Because then it's basically, you know what that is? Basically just getting rid of free speech. That's what it is. That's what these liberals are after. They're trying to get rid of our free speech. So it's okay if you curse or if you chant derogatory names at a person or even a president with bleeps in it, but you can't do fun chants at games. It's very odd. It strikes me as very odd and very hypocritical. So, the Braves, I think, are making the right move. They want to review the Tomahawk Chop. Whatever. I just think the Atlanta Braves, I mean, you know what? There's a lot of history. The Cleveland Indians are also, of course, under the gun. The Indians have been around, I think, for over a century. I think that's correct. Because I remember reviewing it. And they've been around for that long. So it is what it is. And the Atlanta Braves have been around for that long. So now what else? How about we look at, I think they originated in Boston. Yeah. So this is the team that was the Boston Bees, the Boston Braves, and the Milwaukee Braves. Yeah, the team that Hank Aaron set the record under. Yeah, that team. Established in 1871, folks. Yeah. And there's a lot of history. And the first time the Braves were used was in 1912, actually. Originates from a term for a Native American warrior. Now, I think that's pretty good. That means that they're honoring the Native American warrior. See, that's where I differentiate from a lot of these fans, from a lot of these fair weather fans or just offended people. You can honor a group of people with your nickname. I think the Cleveland Indians do that. I you know what it is? I don't offend easily. I don't offend as easily as some other people. And I just feel like the whole cancel culture thing, the whole just agenda, the whole politicizing of sports is wrong. And it's time to stop. It's time to put an end to it. They don't really care. They don't care. The only, you know, I would bet even money or a little more that if the corrupt Hillary Clinton was the president, not that Trump's any better, they wouldn't even be bringing all this stuff up. This is all part of the election year, and it's all part of the disaster known as 2020. That's what this is all about. This is all about these stupid progressives who are just disgusting people like Cortez, who just don't understand, don't get it, and they never will. And until people wake up and realize what the problem is, well, guess what? You're going to have a lot less protection on the streets. You're going to have a lot more shootings and a lot more innocent people getting killed. And that's why when I look at all this stuff with the cancel culture and these and sports team names, it's a bunch of crap. NFL, I'm not watching the NFL anymore. I'm finished. I'm sure they'll – the NBA, I pretty much have wiped my hands with, really. They're just a joke. And when you see the disrespect and just the lack of knowledge that some of these athletes have about the history, and you know what? They don't know. They don't know anything. They don't know a damn thing. So that's the truth. That is the truth. So I'm telling you basically what it is, and I'm going after it. So that's what this, I guess that's what this podcast is going to be. It's just going to be me just discussing how I feel about all this stuff. I mean, they politicized the hell out of the coronavirus. They politicize everything. These people are a joke. They make me embarrassed to live here, to be honest. And I live in Staten Island. And I used to think that I was part of something, as that we were a big part of something else, a city. We're not part of it, though. That's how I feel. Yeah, I'm very proud. I'm Staten Island proud right now, because I know that we live in a safer neighborhood, because I live on the South Shore of Staten Island, and it's pretty safe. Thank God for that. Thank God. Especially when I think about what's gone on in some of the other boroughs run by Mayor Idiot. So that's where I stand. Now, let's try to shift. I want to shift away from the team names and the politicizing of the sports. I want to talk a little bit about a couple of hot topics, actually. A couple of topics that are going to be heating up. And they are going to be heating up, folks. One being the Yankees. Yes. The Yankees are going to be heating up. So are the Mets. And they're going to play a couple of these preseason games, I think, this coming weekend. Yeah. The 19th on my mom's birthday, the Yankees and Mets are going to get together, and I think they're going to play another one on the 20th, and then there's going to be one more preseason game for the Yankees, and then they're going to take on the Nationals, defending champs for three. But all that said, I mean, you still have to keep your eye open for any players that test positive for coronavirus. The Yankees, of course, that would be Aroldis Chapman. Although, from the update, from just listening to WFN in New York and just reading on the Twitter, it sounds like Chapman has mild symptoms. That doesn't sound that bad. But, of course, he's got to fully recover. So, they might not have him available for the first week. So, they might have to go with, probably go with Zach Britton. Britton's a proven closer. He'll probably close the games. And they'll have the other couple of guys set up, like Ottavino, B1, and Chad Green is another guy, and so forth. So they'll probably do it that way. Now, you also have DJ LeMahieu. He also has the coronavirus. I haven't seen too much in terms of updates on him. You know what we're going to do? Since this is just a solo show, I'm just going to do a quick check here and see if there is anything on DJ LeMahieu, see if there's any updates at all. DJ was the MVP of the Yankees last year, and he was right up there for the award, award that went to Mike Trout. His birthday's today, actually. Happy birthday to DJ LeMahieu, a guy that I wanted on the Yankees last year, and they signed him, and then he went out and had, like, an MVP-caliber season. Happy 32nd birthday to DJ LeMahieu, the former Rocky, who could play second base, who could play third base, who could play first if you ask him to. He could probably pretty much anywhere. He definitely made a great signing, and if it's not DJ LeMahieu to start with the COVID-19, well, who is going to be the second baseman? Is it they consider Miguel Andujar, or are they really going to have Tyler Wade as their second baseman to start the season? Yeah, these are interesting questions. Luis Sessa also is out with the coronavirus as well. Luis Sessa is one of those middle relievers that doesn't... I think he's actually better than some people give him credit for. Madison, of course, has never been a huge fan of Luis Sessa. But I actually think he's got some good stuff, and I think he could be better. He could be more valuable than some people give him credit for. So... you know, it's really, when you talk about this 60-game abbreviated season, you talk about some of the people that have the coronavirus, and some players are opting out. Michael Kulpeck, the flamethrower for the White Sox, who sounded like he could have been ready, maybe possibly, to return. He decided to opt out. Buster Posey, you know, his kids, he opted out for the Giants. Yeah, I mean, you know what? If Mike Trout decides to opt out because his wife's pregnant, hey, he has to do what's best for him and for his family. So, hey, these are legitimate concerns. Zach Wheeler is in the same situation with the Phillies. So, and there continue to be some positive tests. So, you can't exactly pencil in a lineup. You can't pencil in a lineup because there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee that it's going to be that lineup. So, that is the thing that really basically makes this a little different. Makes it different. You can't just pencil in a lineup. You know, if I was penciling in a lineup, right? If I was penciling in a lineup, well, obviously I probably would have Mayhew would be batting first. Second would probably be Judge, even though I think he should hit third. But if you hit him second, you know he's you don't want to keep you don't want to have him and Giancarlo back to back because they're strikeout machines too. And Judge has a little bit of a stiff neck, and you just hope that's not going to be a thing because Judge never can stay on the field. But if I was penciling, if I had to pencil a lineup in, I'd probably go 1, DJ, 2, Judge, 3. I like Aaron Hicks in that 3 spot. I do like Aaron Hicks hitting 3rd. I think that would be a good spot for him to hit. Then you could go cleanup. You could go, I would go Glaber. I think Glaber should be the cleanup hitter. They'll probably have him 3rd, but I like Glaber. I want Glaber in the cleanup spot. Or you could go Glaber 3rd, and you could go Sanchez 4th, and then either Stanton or Andujar, depending on which guy you want to play in that spot. And you could have Gardner bat 6th, assuming that he is the left fielder, which he should be. Clint Frazier is going to wear a mask in the field. He probably has one of those masks. They make these masks. There are different companies that make them. Under Armour is one of them, where they have the cooling agents, basically, to keep your – I got to get one of those things. I just ordered new sneakers, actually, a new pair of running shoes. Gel Asics, my favorite shoes. Found a great deal on eBay from a really good, respected seller. $47, $46.95 for beautiful shoes, just black with green striped, and it's got the cushion, and I'll tell you something about Asics. They got a lot of support, and I need that for my plantar fasciitis. And this was like almost basically 60% off because these were these are valued at $120, so 60%. And 60% off, you can't beat that. I needed a new pair, and I am just real excited that I was able to get that. And so I should be expecting that probably in about a week. So if I had to guess, because we are at July the 13th right now here, I'm not going to say next Monday, July 20th. I'm gonna say July 22nd. That would be my guess. It's going to take a little more time to get here, and it's free shipping, by the way, too. Cool is that? I mean, right there, that's clutch right there. You got the free shipping.
So you got free shipping.
And it's just clutch. And clutch is everything in life, as the great John Buchcross would say.
And even though I don't watch ESPN much, or
I don't really watch it at all,
because I just don't like the direction the station's gone, and it's a place that I used to work for, but, hey, John Buchagrass is a guy that I respect. John Buchagrass is a guy that would have been great if he ever left ESPN to host like a network show. He really loves hockey, and he has a lot of knowledge he does have. He has passion, but he's a SportsCenter anchor. and he's been a lifer at ESPN since he started on a so-called NHL Tonight. And he wasn't the original host. The original host actually works for MSG, a guy that I love because I got to work with him a little bit behind the scenes at ESPN News, Bill Pito. Bill Pito, let me tell you, Bill Pito has a great sense of humor and is a smart guy, very bright guy. And he was one of the best statisticians that MSG ever made, at least recently. And I'm glad that he's a big part of MSG and a guy that I respect a lot and admire. So Bill Pito also, he is on the Twitter, and Pito, you sometimes hit him up on the Twitter, he'll give you a response. So yeah, Bill Pito is a good guy, and I think I've seen him around MSG a couple of times. So he's a nice guy. Kind of like Kenny Albert. Kenny Albert's probably one of the nicest people that I can think of. So I've talked about the Mika game, the Mika Zibanejad night, where he had the 5 goals. And yeah, I'm going to be transitioning to the Rangers in a second. So as the training camp actually started for these teams. Yeah. They're getting ready. The Rangers, the Islanders, the other teams, they're getting ready for the return of the NHL. We got 24 teams. 24 teams involved in this thing. And it's going to be very interesting to see how it goes. There's not going to be any home ice, obviously. not even for the Maple Leafs, because they're not going to be any fans. Oh, the Maple Leafs, they'll get to play in Toronto when they take on the Blue Jackets, but
some tenants.
And they are playing, and they're going to have this little round robin with the other three, like, teams, the Lightning, the Capitals, and the Flyers, and the same thing with the Western Conference out in Edmonton, and that would feature the St. Louis Blues, the Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, and the Vegas Golden Knights, and they're going to be in Edmonton, and they will have their little round robin, but when push comes to shove, there's no home ice, really. There's not going to be any fans. It's just going to be who's better? Who has the better team? Which is how it should be anyway. If you're the better team and you got the chemistry and we don't know how much rust is going to be, then you know what? Then you're the better team. So there will not be fans. It'll be like the World Junior Hockey Tournament, where you don't get a lot of fans at the World Junior Hockey Tournament, especially when it's in Finland or somewhere. If it's in Canada, you're going to get fans. Or if it's in Buffalo, you'll have fans, but you won't have as many fans as you have in Canada. So these are all interesting things to point out. So we get ready for this huge tournament.
Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what it is.
The Stanley Cup playoffs expanded. The expanded format will get going. And it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting to see how things do play out with the expanded format. Yeah, I look forward to it. And Hey, Lindy Ruff did make a cameo today on the Joe Beningo show. Beningo is an interesting guy. I like him. He does do the show with Evan, but they've been alternating, taking vacations, basically. And I understand why, because there's not a lot to cover right now. So, it was just Joe today, and Lindy Ruff came on. Lindy Ruff is the new coach of the Devils. Little strange to begin with, but you know what? It was a pretty good interview. I must say it was a good interview. He talked a little bit about his former team. Beningo asked him about the Devils, he just talked about building a foundation. They got to build a foundation to get back on track. And, he talked about coaching some of
Remember, he took over for the Sabres. They were a pretty young team. So he had success in that kind of environment. And the Devils are kind of a team in transition as well. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that pans out for him. Now, Benigno asked him a couple of interesting questions. He asked, and it was a good point, I thought, that he brought up. He feels that in these preliminary, these best three out of five play-ins, basically, to get into the real playoffs, even though it's considered playoffs, you're considered a playoff team. But to me, the real playoffs doesn't start until it's down 16. So until eight teams advance. All right. So here's what he said. He said that, these teams are going to probably be sharper. They're probably going to be sharper. They're going to have a little bit of an advantage. And Lindy Ruff basically echoed the same thing that Ben Engel said on his show in the 4 o'clock hour and said, yeah, I mean, because they're going to be sharper. Yeah. I mean, playing around Robin, I mean, it's not the same thing as playing a best three out of five where you're playing for your livelihood. So it's going to be interesting. That's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. So if the Rangers come through and get through the Hurricanes, which will not be an easy task. I've talked about it before, and I will talk a little more in detail about it with the 22 or so minutes I have left. They could be a little bit of a factor, something Lindy Ruff said. They've got two obviously top-tier talents, Artemi Panarin, the bread man, and Mika Zibanejad, two guys that would have scored over 40 goals. Zibanejad may have gotten it to 50. He would have a 43, I think, with the break. That five-goal game, had another game where he scored. I mean, he was on fire. They've got Kreider. They got a good group of guys. You got Igor Shesterkin in net. You got Tony DeAngelo, Adam Fox. So they do have a good group. So if they get past the Hurricanes in that first round, and I feel the same way about the Hurricanes. I think the Hurricanes could be a danger team too. It just, there is a question about their goaltending. That is a question. And in the four games they had against the Rangers, they just didn't match up. They couldn't match up. And I think a big part of that was because of Mika Zibanejad, that KZB line with Kreider and Buchnevich and Panarin. Panarin, who is such a dynamic player at 5-on-5, dictating the play, that he could play with Ryan Strome and Jesper Fast, and then if you put them on the power play, they're dangerous. Especially when you put Tony DeAngelo out there on that first unit, and you have Adam Fox, you could put him on the second unit. So they are dangerous. They're very dangerous. They're very dangerous on the power play. The Hurricanes have a good power play too. So, and they're going to have Dougie Hamilton back, so that's going to really help them. Sammy Vatanen also was a guy they traded for from the Devils, and yeah, he could help them as well. Brett Pesce, I don't know what his status is. He is on their roster. I'm a little surprised that the Rangers didn't. They could have took as many as 34 guys, and then trimmed down to 31. But they didn't decide to do that. The Hurricanes did. A lot of some of these teams, they took the max, so they can really get a look at everybody. Obviously, all three goalies. That would be Igor Shesterkin. That would be Henrik Lundqvist and Alex Gorgiev. They're all on the roster. And everything is just going to be determined on how things go. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah, I was reading, of course I have a friend that basically always panics at Lundqvist. Oh, well, Lundqvist was getting all the first, who's getting all the first duty in practice. And I'm just like, Will you relax? I mean, look, it would take a lot for Henrik Lundqvist to start over Igor Shesterkin, who was just looked. He looked great. He looked great. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Shesterkin will be the guy. Whoever backs up is going to back up, whether it's Lundqvist because they'd rather have the veteran guy or it's Gorgiev. So be it. I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to worry about that too much. What I do concern myself with as they have these practices is coronavirus. Can they avoid, and not just them, not just the Rangers, but the other 23 teams that are in this thing, can they avoid some of these, can they avoid the COVID-19 pandemic? Because if a couple guys have it, guess what? They have to self-quarantine for 14 days. They got to get retested in 5 days, get, you know, the temperature taken and so forth. And, I mean, that's why you have to have the expanded rosters. It's the same thing with baseball. So that's why you can't pencil in a lineup. Nothing is guaranteed here, folks. Nothing's guaranteed. And don't forget, hockey is a full body sport. It's a full contact sport, okay? It's a physical sport. These guys battle for every inch of space, literally. So you're going to find out a lot. And it's not just hockey. It's also basketball, even though I have no juice for that. And I saw that Russell Westbrook was the latest to test positive for the COVID-19. But it's even baseball. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this. Sizing up this matchup or whatever, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go and I'm going to refer to my most recent blog over on NewYorkPuck.com, and you can go check it out. Ward Murphy is replacing Lindy Ruff, the former veteran defenseman who played for four different teams, including the Flyers, Panthers, Thrashers, and I think maybe it was the Bruins. And he's been an assistant coach before, so he's got plenty of experience as an assistant. He was an associate head coach with the Wolfpack, and so I think that's a good bump up. So they bump him up, and he'll fit in, and he should fit okay on that bench. So obviously, with Ruff taking over, they decided to bump Gord Murphy up. And so Gord Murphy, a guy who served as an assistant for the Blue Jackets, Panthers, and Flyers, will be in that role. All right, so why don't we take a look a little closer here? Let's take a look. You know, if everything pans out, okay, if it all pans out, there's no issues in terms of the pandemic or injuries, your game one, which I think is August, it might be August 1st, or I think it's August 1st, then August 3rd. And all right, so your game one lineup, Rangers lineup, probably will be KZB. That would be Kreider, Zibanejad, and Buchnevich. We'll have great chemistry in Buchnevich again. That was having another big second half after a lousy first half. He was up to like 46 points after just a brutal first half. Panarin, Strom, and Fast. Great 5-on-5 line, obviously. And then it gets dicey. Your third and fourth lines, the third and fourth lines are going to be important in this series because the Hurricanes got a little better depth when it comes to those kind of players. When you have like Nino Niederreiter's and Jordan Staal, even though he'll probably be their second line center, and maybe they'll have Trocheck center their third line. I don't know what their plan is, but plan of attack is. But they've got a little more depth, the Hurricanes, when it comes to forwards, and your D is a little deeper as well, but Brendan Lemieux is suspended because of some stupidity that he did in their last game. So he's not going to be playing in the first game. And, I mean, Brendan Lemieux, he can infuriate not just opponents and opposing fans, but he can infuriate his own fans with his antics and his stupid penalties. And if he wants to be a factor, you want to play him. But he has to stay away from bad penalties. And yeah, so you can draw penalties too. So, but yours is what your bottom six would look like. Di Giuseppe, who did a nice job to fill Di Giuseppe after he got recalled from Hartford. Good skater. Look, he's not gonna score a lot, but I'll tell you, his skating's pretty good, and he can create opportunities. But you'd have Di Giuseppe up on the third line with Filippito and Capocacco if Capocacco is cleared to play. And it looks to be like he's going to be. There is Max Domi, who's also a diabetic and I think was positive, I think, for coronavirus. And he's got 7 days, or I don't know if he was positive, but he has 7 days. He's got an extra week to make a decision if he's going to participate for the Montreal Canadiens when they take on the Penguins. So this is what you're looking at. All right, this is reality. So And I think that the Rangers could use Kaka this series. Because I want to see what kind of improvements he made. You know, he's one of those guys I'm real interested in. I'm interested in guys like Kappa and Hedl to see what they can do. And Brett Howden, who would be playing the left wing on the fourth line with the keg man, Greg McKegg, and the guy that the Hurricanes traded to the Rangers, Julien Gauthier, who he's got some really good skating for he's got they gave up on him. A little bit of a power forward kind of body, and he's got some power moves. We just don't know what he is yet. We don't know what he is, but he looks like he has some ability. Now, your extras right now, at least, would be Brandon Lemieux, who I would assume would probably jump back into the lineup. But, you know, they might have to minimize his shifts. They might have to. Stephen Fogarty and Tim Gettinger have been recalled from Hartford before. They're filler guys. You know, they're both guys that they could play on your fourth line if you need them. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to put the puck in the net, but they're not going to kill you. I like the idea that Vitaly Krasov, the former first-round pick in 18, is on this roster. He's 20 years old. He's the Russian. He's probably you're not going to see him play. I don't think you'll see him play unless something drastic happens. But he's in practices and he's going to take reps, and I think that's great. This is a very good thing for Vitaly Krasov to be part of. The other two extras, Vinny Letteri, the bagel man, as we call him. Vinny is a real good AHL player. There's no question. He's never really proven that he could be a capable NHL player. I mean, what did he score? 2 goals? And his first goal came in his debut at Detroit, where he's from. So, and I could predict that he was going to score in that game. And the other forward, I would guess, would be probably Cristobal or Boo Nieves. That's what you're probably looking at. I would think, you know, Boo can play center. He can play a little. He can play a little kill. He won't hurt you. Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad guy to have on the roster. I would think he would be along for the ride. All right, your defense, you're looking at Lindgren and Fox, great rookie tandem. You're also looking at Stahl and D'Angelo, the other tandem that's very – they just work together. They mesh. And Mark Stahl, you worry about Mark Stahl if there's going to be some rust with him because he's an older veteran guy with 1 year left on his contract, and he's been through the wars. So, of course, you do worry about that with the older guys. Brendan Smith, same thing. Brendan Smith, you know, a little bit younger than Stahl, but he's paired up with Jacob Trouba after they traded Brady Shea to the Carolina Hurricanes. There's an irony right there. I mean, yeah, you got some interesting storylines. You got Brady Shea playing for the Hurricanes in the series. You got Julien Gauthier potentially going up against his team that really didn't give him a chance. He played a few games for them, but there is a little bit of a storyline there. The extra defenseman at this point would be Lee Borahayek, who I do not want to see. I don't want to see him play at all. I really don't. He just doesn't look the part, and it just looks like Yzerman. He knew what he was doing when he made that trade. So I mean that trade really going to hinge on the other guys. I'm talking about Mr. Lundqvist, not Henrik Lundqvist, but the other Lundqvist, the defenseman, Nils Lundqvist, in the Lightning trade, and JT Miller, who is now on the Canucks, and they gave away. And what do they have left? They have Ryan McDonough, who's still a top four guy, a guy that can play power play, penalty kill, play 5-on-5. But you know, they have Victor Hedman, who can do everything. So McDonough doesn't have to be that guy. And the other extra, Radish, was a guy that had a good year for Hartford. And, yeah, so I think that's your other extra defenseman. They could take another defenseman if they wanted to. That's their choice. And, of course, the three goalies, Shesterkin, Lundqvist, and Gorgiev, they can actually have more players on this roster. Now, Rykov was a guy that was originally acquired from Devils in the Michael Grabner trade. Rangers also got a draft pick out of that. But he was not among the – this was from Brooks a couple of days ago. So not wrong, the New York Rangers training camp group had difficult injury-plagued first season. That's true with Harford. I don't think you're going to see him. I don't think you're ever going to see him in a Ranger uniform. I think he's going to go back to the KHL. That's my prediction on him. That's what usually happens with guys like that because, look, he's from Russia. He didn't, you know, everybody thought, including myself, I wrote about it, that he might be, you know, he might be in that little group there. But, hey, Keandre Miller is signed, and Keandre Miller is going to be competing for a job pretty soon and could be a Ranger as soon as calendar year 2021 if things go right for him. But I'm not counting on it. You don't have to there's no rush here, okay? There's no rush on this. The Hurricanes, I want to run down the Hurricanes with about 8 minutes left here. The Hurricanes squad and the Hurricanes, this is just like their what it looks like right now. You know, they will have to make some cuts. I'm just going to highlight the guys that I definitely need to see being a part of it. Obviously, the trio of Sebastian Aho, Andre Svechnikov, and Tuvo Teravainen, who's a great playmaking passer. They are the three guys that, look, the Rangers defense is going to have to focus on. They're going to have to focus on limiting their time and space, taking, and they can't turn over pucks in the neutral zone. Aho can just explode the other way. So could Svechnikov. And he's also, Svechnikov can play both sides. So, you don't want to put them on the power play either, especially with Dougie Hamilton back. Now, what will the second line look like? I mean, it depends. They could have Jordan Staal center a checking line as their second line with guys like maybe like Brock McGinn and Nino Niederreiter, or you could have a talented rookie that the Rangers passed up on when they took Elias Anderson, who's not even going to be with the Rangers anymore, like a Martin Nekas. Martin Nekas has got some ability. He's kind of an overlooked rookie that's got some ability. Maybe he centers the second line. Maybe Trocheck shifts to the right side because he could also take faceoffs. Maybe you have Trocheck take the faceoffs but plays the right side and Nekas plays center, or maybe they do it either or. So they have some guys. Morgan Geeky is a guy to keep an eye on. They called him up, and he looked pretty good. He scored a few goals when they called up Warren Fogle. Warren Fogle's one of those guys that has good skating ability. Never doesn't blow you away, but he was a nice player for the Hurricanes in their run to the conference final last year. DeZingle, we know what Ryan DeZingle is. DeZingle's a guy who likes to park himself in front and score goals in front of the net. He's a guy who scores about 20 to 25 goals a year. And, you know, just a good guy to have in front of the net. You have guys like Jordan Martinek, Niederreiter. Those guys are hustlers. Niederreiter is a guy who didn't have that good a season. Martinek is a guy who could probably play on their fourth line. We know about Justin Williams. We know what he can do. Justin Williams will probably, you know what, if I was guessing, I would predict that Justin Williams will play with Jordan Staal. And if they're going to have a checking line, Staal, Justin Williams on the right side, the left side, I'm thinking it's going to be either Brock McGinn or it's probably going to be McGinn because McGinn could play the left side. Nino Niederreiter plays the right side. So Niederreiter might be on a different line. Yeah, so I'm thinking that could be a line. And then maybe they could have Trocheck, Nekas, and Geeky. If Geeky continues to show that he could perform, play on a third line, and their fourth line could be, I don't know. I don't know what their fourth line would be. Martinuk would be part of it, obviously. And a couple other guys. They took a lot of defensemen. And I think that's because they want to evaluate. They want to see if Brett Pesce's healthy enough to play it. Because if he is healthy enough to play that, that's going to give them an edge. Because when you look at the, like, Carolina defense, Jacob Slavin's their top left pair guy, okay? He's their top left pair guy. And he usually plays with Brett Pesce. But if Pesce's not healthy, maybe that goes to Sammy Vatanen. Because they probably don't want Dougie Hamilton going up. They probably don't want to match Dougie Hamilton. They probably want to have Hamilton more for his offense or offense. They might want to pair him up with someone different. Maybe like a Brady Shea. even though I think Brady Shea would be best paired with, like, I think Shea probably would work better with, like, a Vatanen and maybe have Joel Edmondson. I think Edmondson and Hamilton could be a pair. If they really want to load up, they can load up and have Slavin and Hamilton as their top pair. Yeah, they have a lot more depth than the Rangers, D. I mean, Edmondson is a proven guy. He won a Stanley Cup with the Blues. Hayden Fleury has stepped in and has played pretty solid for the Hurricanes. And now he could be a depth guy if Pesci's healthy. He could be the sixth guy. Shea wouldn't have to play more than third pair. If everybody was healthy, he wouldn't have to be more than third pair. So and then you have a guy like that, and then you have Trevor Van Riemsdyk. This team's got a lot of depth at the blue line position, so that'd be a concern. I think I would give the Rangers the edge at forwards just because I love the top-tier guys. So, and even though I think the Hurricanes' depth is pretty good and their third and fourth lines could be better, I like in a short series, guys like having Mika and having guys like Panarin, and if Kreider doesn't show any rust, and Buchnevich, those are guys that you would probably trust. But it's still going to come down to some of the other guys, the Stroms, the Foss, Kapo Kakko. It's going to come down to some of the other guys. Goalie for the Hurricanes, that is a big, giant question mark, like the Riddler. Mrazek would look like probably be the number one guy. James Reimer was having the better season, though. And then they have Anton Forsberg, who's never been more than an AHL goalie. He's never proven himself. And Alex Nedeljkovic never really materialized. So when you look at, if you want to go edge for the Rangers, their huge edge for the New York Rangers is probably in net. That's their huge edge. Special teams are about the same. Hurricanes are a better penalty-killing team than the Rangers. Power plays are very close. They rank very close together. Forwards, I'm giving a slight edge to the Rangers, but that's only because of Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad. I think the Hurricanes have a lot of balance up and down. Well, I don't know what their fourth line will look like. Defense, I'm going to give the edge to the Hurricanes. This is a hard series to call. And I don't know, how it's going to come off. But if Pesci can't play, that's a loss for the Hurricanes, and he's not expected to. So we'll have to see how things go. We might be doing another show at midnight. That's going to do it for this show. This was just a show, just a talk or whatever. So thanks for tuning in, and enjoy what is the rest of your Monday evening, whatever you're doing. And we could see you all later. All right. We'll see you all later. This is we're going to go out with a little bit of a bang. Little Beach Boys to close the show. This is the one and only Derek Fields for Hard Hits, and we'll see you all later. Good night.
As long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I'd be.